Amen. What a powerful name indeed. Let's pray together as we turn to God's word this morning. Father God, we come before you and we do declare that the name of Jesus is power. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That it is the name of Jesus that gives us life. It is the name of Jesus that gives us hope. It is the name of Jesus that restores us, heals us, brings us peace. So, Father God, as we walk together within that, we want to understand who Jesus is. We want to know Jesus. We want to love Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. We want to see Jesus at work in the world around us. That Jesus alive in us can bring us into the lives of the people around us too. Father God, we praise you. We love you. We worship you. And now we want to learn from you, God. We pray that you would speak in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team, for leading us to that place this morning as we turn to God's word. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to read a little bit. It's only 5 pages, so buckle up. Okay, we're not going to read quite the whole thing. Psalm 119, we're going to read the first couple of portions here as it leads us into the things that God has for us this morning. Psalm 119 says this: Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. God's word is truth. It is life. It is hope and it is good. It nourishes us. It challenges us. It corrects us. And it points us toward the loving arms of our Father and our Creator. Do you rejoice in following God's word? Do you meditate on it day and night? Do you delight in the word of the Lord and find your comfort there? God's word is good and he has given it to us that we can know him. Amen? Amen. When we're coming to the end of our journey this year, this is kind of the last sermon in our series that we've been walking through this whole year. We've spent the year looking at the power and the authority and the beauty of the Word of God. Everything we teach and do is based on Scripture, always, all the time. It is the standard against which we measure everything else, but we wanted to take this year to really look at what Scripture itself is, what the Word is. To try to see and understand what it is that God has given to us here in these pages, in this book, so that we can be inspired to read and know and understand these words. That they can take root in our hearts and change us. That we might be filled with a new hunger to study God's word and love what he is saying to us. That we can love him more. So we can love others more. God's word is good and he wants you to understand him, to know him. And so I hope that's what you found this year, that you felt challenged to dig into God's word in a new and a deeper way, that you've built new discipline in your life, that we're coming to God's word every single day, filling your heart and your mind with his truths and his commands and his promises, hungry to see his face and know him more. Because if we understand what it is that he's given us here, we should be filled with that hunger and that passion, the all-powerful, all-knowing, infinite and eternal, ever-present creator of the universe has spoken to us, has made us in his own image, and spoken his nature to us. The people around us, the whole world is flailing for purpose, desperate for understanding. Who are we? What is all of this? Where did we come from? Why are we here? What is all of this for? And God has told us. Can we believe it? God has told us. And even as Christians, we sometimes wonder, because the universe is so vast and our lives are so complicated and difficult, we experience the ecstatic joy of first love and the deepest pain of death and suffering, the power that God has given us to create tremendous things, moving mountains and building cities, and yet we see at the same time how infinitesimally small we are on this planet, let alone in the universe. Who are we? What is all of this? How can this be? What is it for? And God did not leave us to wonder. He didn't set the world spinning and disappear. He spoke. He spoke creation into existence, and then he spoke to us. And not just once a long time ago, but constantly, over and over and over again, across the millennia, he gave his people wisdom. And they wrote his words, and they gathered them together here in this book, and we have them, the words of God. 1,189 chapters. 31,102 verses of the voice of God speaking to us, to you. If he had just said once, all those years to go to one person, I am, we wouldn't deserve any more. That would be enough to know that God is real. But he didn't. He wants us to know him, to walk with him, to have relationship. God is relationship in his very nature. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existing in perfect unity, three in one eternally. And he has created us then out of that relationship to know relationship just as he is. He hasn't given us information here, but revelation. He has revealed himself to you in his image placed within you, in the community of relationships that surround you, and in his word here given to you. Is it enough for you? What do we need? What are we looking for from him? What more can he give us? What more can we ask? We live and we work and we fight and we struggle. We wonder and we pray and we sin. We feel lost. And all the time, his word is waiting to speak life to you. Isaiah chapter 55, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen, listen to me. And eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on whom it meditates, on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. God's word is nourishment and life. We are called to plant our roots deep within it, to be fed by it like a tree planted on the bank of a river. God promises us blessing and fruitfulness if we will do what he is inviting us to do. Why spend your money on what is not bread? Why work for what will not satisfy? Listen to me, God says, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Our God is so generous. He has no limits on his resources, and he loves to give his children good things. And the greatest thing he can give us is himself. Everything else flows from that place of relationship with him. Everything we want, everything we're looking for is there. And we try to find it everywhere else. If we just had a little more money, if we just had a little more time, if the Oilers would just win the cup. It means too much to me, I'll tell you that. It's not healthy. If we just had a little more respect, if we had a little more stuff, if we looked a little better, felt a little better, loved a little more. And so we will pour out effort in every possible direction, trying to get there, drilling through investment strategies and exercise routines, health fads and diet fads, degrees and promotions and accomplishments, nicer clothes, a few more followers, anything and everything, trying to get there, trying to be enough. And God still calls, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. John chapter 6, Jesus says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Isaiah chapter 40, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Proverbs chapter 6, for this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light. And correction and instruction are the way to life. God's word is life. It is his gift to us, and he wants to use it to make you whole, to bring you healing, to guide you forward. And so we began this last year, all those months ago, looking at the different parts of God's word, the ways he has spoken to us, the different styles and ways he has used his word. He spoke through history and law, speaking to us of the nature of reality and the ways he is at work in the world, how he has made things to work, and how he is calling us to live, the stories and the examples of the ways he has walked with people. He gave us poetry and lament, guiding us in worship and in suffering, showing us his presence and telling us that there is more to our experience of him than stories or history or reason or logic. That to know him is to experience life with him. And he gave us prophecy, books and books and books of prophecy, showing us his power over nations and rulers, time itself, that he sees beyond what we can see and is in control of things that we cannot control. God's word speaks to us of all of these things, telling us that he is faithful and trustworthy, powerful and strong, loving and caring. And even more, that he is with us. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then the Word became flesh and made his dwelling, made his home among us. We have seen his glory. Glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is not just a book. The Word is Jesus. God himself, born to us, to live with us, to reveal life to us, and to take our sin upon himself and die for us, speaking hope and forgiveness to us in his sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And on the cross, that living Word said, "It is finished." The Word of God is the revelation of Jesus. It is God's Word that speaks to us of the work of Jesus, of the power of his blood, of the gift of his mercy and forgiveness and grace, and of his power over life and death itself. It is an invitation into this new reality, this eternal life, redeemed and restored, not just for a future someplace else, but to live in a completely new and transformed way here and now, just like he did, just like Jesus. In John chapter 14, Jesus told us, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the things I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Do you see that in your life? Is that what the Word looks like in you? Is the Word so alive in you that this promise of Jesus is what you know, what you live, what you experience? God's Word has spoken to us here of what he means for our life to look like, what it's supposed to be. When we are living in relationship with him, when we are living in the power of the Word like Jesus did. So we need to understand, and after Christmas this year, we looked at the things that Jesus taught us when he tried to tell us what this looks like, the red letter words in the Gospels, trying to understand what it is that he wants us to know, how he wants us to live, what he told us about his Father and about forgiveness and about love and about eternity. How he showed us what relationship looks like. He lived it. The Word lived here and showed us what all of this truly looks like. Do you see do we want to see? And then we ended with these letters of Peter over the last couple of months as Jesus passed that mission on, that vision, that promise forward to the church. And we read the words of Peter, the rock upon whom Jesus built his church, to hear his heart for the church then and now. His letters to us here in this room, the church today, about walking together, worshiping together, enduring hardship and persecution together, sharing the gospel together, and never losing sight of the kingdom of God here and in eternity together. God's word is good. And he's given it to you so that you can see him and know him and follow him, so that you can know freedom and life, mission and purpose and eternity together with him. So the question then becomes, what will you do with his word? What does his word mean to you? What does it look like to you to live it and know it? Is God's word the desire of your heart? Is it the hunger of your soul? Is it the foundation of your life? When God was giving his law to his people through Moses, he said to them, Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them down on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Where is your Bible? Where is it in your home? In your life? Are its words written on your heart? Do you talk about the scriptures with your children? Do you impress God's word on your children? Do you speak of God's ways with your friends when you sit at home or when you're out in the world? Do you carry it with you like it's tied to your hand or like it's tied to your forehead? Is it written on the very walls of your house? Where is God's word in your life? Is it in your breath? Does it fill your mind? John chapter 8, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, then you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Matthew chapter 24, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. James chapter 1, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and forgets what he looks like." The word is about relationship, and relationship is not knowledge, it is action. Relationship is lived and experienced, and God's word is meant to be lived and experienced. Hebrews chapter 4, "The word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Jeremiah chapter 23, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rock in pieces. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is meant to be lived. It works on us and it works through us by the Spirit, by the blood of Jesus. God's word is alive in the world and in you. And it is at work because God has willed it to be so. Isaiah chapter 55, the word that goes out from my mouth will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word is at work. And by his Spirit, we have seen that work made real. And he's calling you, inviting you to walk more deeply in relationship with him by the power of the Spirit and the Word. So then, as Peter asked us last week, how then should we live? What do we do with all of this, in light of what God has told us about himself and about his word? Let's live it. Let's step more deeply into it. Let's make this the summer of the word. Find a partner, your spouse, a friend. Bring some people together in a small group or a life change group. Let's dive into the word together. Let's be changed by it, shaped by it, molded by it. Tie it on your hands, tie it on your forehead, write it on the door frames of your house, impress it on your children. Let it be a light to our feet, a lamp unto our path. Let us be sanctified by his truth, his word that is truth. Let us be filled by his word, by his Spirit, that we can bring life to everyone around us. As the hope of the gospel speaks through us and the word of God transforms us, let's memorize it, meditate on it, read it every day. Let's talk about it, study it, pray through it. And let's see what happens when the power of the word is unleashed. God's word is so powerful. It's so wonderful and so beautiful, and he wants to speak through its pages to you. Do we want that? I know I do. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for this journey that we've been able to be on this year as we study and explore and want to understand the beauty and the power, the truth of your word. And Father, we pray that you would fill us with a hunger for your word, that we would want to read and study and know your word, that we would memorize your word, that we would fill our hearts and our minds with your word, that our conversations would be filled with your word. As we go and walk and sit in our homes and walk out in the world, as we speak with our children and our friends and our family, that your word would just soak all of those conversations. Father, we ask your forgiveness where we've treated your word lightly, where we ignore it or even hide from it. Forgive us, God. We want to be challenged. We want to be changed. We want to be made new. We thank you, God, that we can walk through these things together, that we don't have to carry these things alone, that you are with us and you have given us your church, that we can explore these things together and help each other together. We pray, God, that this would be the summer of the word, that you would fill us with a new hunger for discipline, that we would come to your word every day, that we would hear your voice speak. In Jesus' name, amen.